Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, a bit muted, all right? Let me unmute this. Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Okay, all right? So good to see you all. Say to your neighbor likewise, so good to see you. Would you say that to one another and shalom, okay? Isn't it? All right, fantastic, isn't it? How many of you cannot wait to come to church this evening? Can I see your hands? Yes, afternoon, can I see your hands? Great, fantastic, right? That's wonderful, okay? And so we're going to connect with one another. We trust by God's grace that we'll be able to allow God to speak to each one of us, okay, and respond, okay, by His mercy, His love, and His goodness towards all of us. Likewise, all of you online, okay, welcome to UMC. It's great to, okay, connect with us like this, and we trust by God's grace that the Lord will speak to you likewise in this message, okay, that I want to just share with you this, okay, afternoon. I'm going to title my message this afternoon as Lockdown, but not Locked Out Amidst the Pandemic. Okay, I'm going to take this from Psalm 42, verses 1 until the first part of verse 6, okay? Why don't we stand together, all right, to read, okay, this passage of Scripture, all right? Psalm 42, verse 1 to the first part of verse 6 together. Come, in our loudest, strongest, most robust DUNC voices that we have not exercised for quite a long time together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go with a multitude, leading procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. Father, we ask again that you, by your Spirit, will take your word and speak to us, Lord God. Thank you for your mercies, your grace, the way you watch over us, cared for us, protected us, O God, all these months, our Father. We are so, so grateful to you indeed, O God. Now take your word, speak to us by your Spirit. Father, we pray in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Would you take your seats, please? Well, the psalmist here in this case are sons of Korah who penned this, and the sons of Korah are basically temple musicians. Right, and they came up with this psalm, which I think a wonderful psalm that reminds us likewise and connect with us in our present day and times in the midst of this pandemic. Why is that? Because the psalmist here, right, themselves experienced a certain point of cutoff as they are disconnected with the things around them. Okay, and likewise, we are feeling the same also in the midst of this pandemic, you see. All right, many times we find that we are being locked down. Locked down in what manner and form? We feel that we have been locked down, in this case, here physically. Why? Because here in verse 4 of Psalm 42, the psalmist says to us all, these things I remember as I pour up my soul, how I used to go with the multitude leading procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. You see, the psalmist here, right, themselves declare how we used to go, and us now it's not possible. And likewise for many, many of us in the last almost 18 months, isn't it? How we could remember the times and the great times we get to realize just in freedom, in peace, in joy, in celebration. And we cannot wait to get closer to one another. But somehow or other, we are not distant from one another. We are cut off. We feel hemmed in. We have done the freedom to move, to travel. And we are restricted again and again, like this, the psalmists themselves experience. I know it is hard. It is difficult. Isn't it? In the midst of a situation like this, we just wonder, when is this lockdown as it going to be totally lifted so that we are free to connect, to travel, and get closer to one another? And that's what the psalmist themselves also experienced in this regard here, a sense of physical curtailment of freedom, of movement, and everything else like this. Noting, you notice, friends, that the psalmist here themselves shared with us their lockdown physically, but also their lockdown emotionally. Why? Because here in verse 3, okay, the psalmist writes, my tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where's your God? See, tragically and sadly, you notice that the psalmist wrestled through tears, okay, and sorrows and heartaches and pain, feeling themselves very disconnected within, right, emotionally as it were. Is there a hope in the future? What is the way out for us in a situation like this? And many times we feel the same way as well, isn't it? My goodness, we are wearied, we are weighed down, we are in despair, and sometimes even being challenged by other people, where's your God? We thought you are Christians, and you pray, and you really pray very hard. What is happening here? The pandemic still carries on. Is there hope in the future? Where is your God in the midst of this pandemic? Isn't it? It must be hard and difficult to be challenged. And emotionally, how do we respond? Right? There must be a real sense of despair and discouragement, isn't it? And we just wonder, right, in the midst of this all, Lord, are you still there at all or not for us? Okay. So not only, friends, you know, we are cut off physically. Not only, friends, we're in despair emotionally. But more than that, psychologically, you notice here the psalmist tells us like this, okay, in verse 7, okay, the psalmist writes, deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. There's a sense of overwhelmingness, as it were, of waves and breakers sweeping over the psalmist here like this. Friends, you know, this last phrase here, all your waves and breakers have swept away, were exactly quoted by Prophet Jonah when he was thrown overboard, okay, from the ship. Jonah there in chapter 2, verse 3, says the same thing as well. All the waves and breakers have swept over me. I'm drowning. I'm overwhelmed. And is there hope in the future for me at the end of it all? Friends, you know, in this pandemic, we feel like Christ, isn't it? Not only emotionally, but psychologically as well, overwhelmed, isn't it? All right? We have been numb in so many ways, so much so that, friends, you know, fear, right, worry, anxiety start creeping in and affecting us mentally, emotionally, okay, in so many ways, as well as socially like this. And we wonder, is there a way out of any of it all? When it has affected many, many people, friends, in this country, not only in this country, across the whole world as well, that there is a numbing effect upon many, many of us. So much so that, friends, you know what? Some people trying to find a way out, couldn't find a way out. What do they do? Do all kinds of crazy and silly things. To begin with, friends, you'll notice even here in Malaysia, the divorce rate has skyrocketed. Okay, in fact, the Prime Minister himself, on September the 15th, announces in Parliament, what is it like about what has happened to our nation here in this regard here? And he says to all of us, almost 78,000 couples have divorced, right, since the start of the pandemic last year, in March last year, until August this year, like this. Frightening, sad, tragic, isn't it? Heartbreaking to think, not only friends, you know, couples are divorced, or sometimes affects the children. What is going to happen? Isn't it? It must be hard and difficult. Why? Because not only it is affecting them emotionally, it is also affecting them, as we all know, economically and financially. How to manage, how to cope with something like this? Not only their jobs are affected, businesses are affected as well, and many have shuttered in the process. It's in, what is the way out? Friends, you know, not only divorces, marriages are falling apart tragically and sadly, must grieve, surely also, not in many of us, but the heart of God certainly. But also on top of that, you know what, suicide rates have also escalated crazy. Okay, in fact, in the first 3 months of this year, the number of suicides is more than half of last year. All right? Okay. And so be friends, you know, when people find no way out, tragically, sadly, they take their own lives. Isn't it? Now, this is really the pain that we all are going through. And friends, can I say, it is affecting all levels of society. It is not just, we think, so-called, the uneducated, the marginalized, and so forth, affecting right across. I know of at least two Christians who have taken their lives in the midst of this pandemic. It's so sad, so tragic that we see these kind of things happening like this. And these are, friends, can I say, cases that we know. Suicide rates and divorces are just reported. What about the unreported ones? I believe there are a lot more, indeed, isn't it? All right? And friends, can I say, it is not just affecting the B40 group, the below 40% of the social ladder. It is equally affecting, friends, can I say, the so-called M40 group, the middle-class group as well. And so, for example, we've been giving free food here for 3.5 months, actually, right, from DUMC, free cooked food. People just come and pick it up. And some of these, you know what, friends, come in fairly decent cars and decently dressed as well. And some of these, they're a little bit shy, so they park their cars far away, okay, and they walk, okay, to pick up food. I said, and don't worry, just come. It's okay, bring your car near us. Because, right, they are shy to show, all right, the nice cars they've got. But it just shows to us, friends, you know, how this pandemic has afflicted even the middle-class people, so much so that they're willing to humble themselves and come. I said, this year we serve anyone and everyone. Just come, don't worry about that kind of thing. But, friends, it just goes to show, psychologically, this has become a numbing effect upon many, many. And as a result, you just wonder, is there a way forward? Where do we go from here? more than that, friends, you know what? The psalmist shares with it on top of that spiritually as well. All right, they have been affected in the process, verses 1 and 2. Okay, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go meet with God? Seemingly as if God is far away, God is distant, God is high up there. I could not connect with God, isn't it? And likewise, friends, you know, verses 9 and 10, okay, the psalmist says, I said to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Spiritually disconnected, as it were. Thirsting, hungry for God, and seemingly God appears to be far away. But you and I know, friends, God is not far away. But sometimes, friends, when we're going to a situation like this, okay, of being cut off, as it were, from all things around us, and for us in this pandemic, sometimes we feel being cut off all around. Spiritually, friends, if we're not careful, we seem to feel that God is far, far away, and we say, God, where are you in a process like this? And this is where, friends, you and I got to grapple with these issues of life and living as we work through, okay, all right, in the midst of this pandemic, that this, friends, that we are locked down, as it were, physically, we are locked down emotionally, psychologically, so spiritually, friends, as we are locked down like this, but we don't have to be locked out, okay, and this is important for all of us. In what manner and form, where you and I don't have to be locked up. And that's important, okay? And there's some messiah shares with us how we can get up from this problem and to see victory in a process like this. Friends, you know, we don't have to be locked up, firstly, in our mindset. That's the starting point if there's going to be breakthrough and victory for all of us in our lives. And as some messiah tells us in verse 5, okay, in the first part of verse 6, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. It's interesting, friends, you look very carefully. The psalmist is telling us to speak to ourselves. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? To talk to yourself when you are down, when you are really struggling and just wondering, is there a way forward or not? Now, you and I also know, isn't it? When we start talking to ourselves, what is that a sign of? That's a sign of going mad, am I right? And that's what happens, actually, to this man who was kidnapped, all right, by the Muslim Hezbollah. Okay? And he was put in the little cell, blindfolded, chained to a drain pipe. And slowly over time, as he finished thinking, because he doesn't know whether he'll live or die, he thought he better occupy himself. And so he started thinking about all kinds of things, wonderful experiences, okay, great sports events, music that he loved, and all kinds of things. And after several days of thinking about these things, he ran out of ideas to think about. And slowly, slowly in the process, he discovered, he started talking to himself. That's when he got worried, because he said, men only talk to themselves. But friends, you know, here in Scripture, it tells us of this antidote to deal with depression, to deal when we are downcast, when we are really weighed down, right? So say, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for you praise Him, my Savior, my God. You see, friends, that's the important thing about dealing and addressing the mind first if we're going through our heartaches and pains and emotional turmoil and that kind of things happening. Sometimes even slowly descending even into depression. Arrest that quickly. Talk to yourself. In other words, friends, you know what you and I must do? Apostle Paul writes to us in Romans 12 and verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. In other words, friends, you know, it requires a renewal of our mind to think correctly. Right, to focus upon God and not focus upon self. And that's what, friends, you know, when we're discouraged and despair, there's a tendency always to have self-pity. My goodness, life has been hard and difficult. Why is it like that? God, where are you in the midst of all these? See, sin has a tendency of turning us inwards and going into a state of self-pity, right? And having, as it were, wallowing ourselves in a mud, as it were. Friends, you know, it must begin with the mind first. Address the mind and say, what's wrong with me? Why am I thinking like that? Why am I preoccupied with this kind of things? Why is my relationship failing? Okay, but in the first place, maybe we shouldn't have started the relationship. You know, why is my business really going to challenging times? Maybe in the first place, we have not sought wise counsel from people before we start that business. We just blindly plunge it just because we got money. But that might not be the right business we should be in, isn't it? There's so many things that can take place. And this is where, friends, respect to our mind begins with a renewal of the mind so that we think correctly, so that we be able to focus at the heart of it all on seeking the face of God. Lord, what is your mind, your purpose, your heart in all that I'm going through? Bring this before God, friends. You know, God is reminding us in the midst of the pandemic to do a reorientation at the beginning, first and foremost, friend, a reorientation of mind, right? To know that at the end of it all, if I think correctly, then I will act rightly. But if we don't think correctly, it will always result in us acting wrongly, responding in a manner that at the end of it will not honor and please God whatsoever. And that's important, friends, for all of us. And that's the first antidote, friends, all right? That even though we're under lockdown, we're locked out firstly in our mindset. And when there's a breakthrough in our mindset, friends, you begin to soar, you and I begin to soar and see the grace and mercies and goodness of God upon all our lives. Not to be friends, we don't have to be locked out in our mindset. Secondly, friends, we're locked out in our motivation. And that's very important for us. And here, the psalmist here provides a wonderful motivation for all of us. Why? Because in verse 8, I love to get you to read aloud, okay? Because I've forgotten to get you to read aloud after so many months of preaching life, okay? I know it's hard to read aloud when we are all masked, but try. Is that okay? Try your level best to join me, read aloud together, okay? Because the reading of the Word of God does something to our heart, to our spirit, is important. Come, let's read together verse 8 of Psalm 42. By day, the Lord directs His love. At night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. See, by day, God directs His love for me. At night, there's a song. There's a song in my mouth. What is the psalmist here trying to help us with? To remind ourselves that this God of ours still loves me in spite of what I'm going through. He has not left me. He has not abandoned me. He has not given up on me. I got to change my mindset the way I think. Sometimes wondering, has God left me? Has God abandoned me? Has God forgotten about me? No, He has not. His love is everlasting and unfailing all the time. And all God's people say, that's what it is for all of us, isn't it? Friends, you know, in times like this especially, to know that He's a God of love. He loves me unfailingly. And He will take me through no matter what I go through, even in the midst of this pandemic. Friends, even though sometimes we've experienced loss, even loss of a loved one. It is hard, it is difficult, it is painful. But to know that God's love is there for us, with us, in us, around us, all the time, whatever we're going through is. To know this God loves me, and therefore He has a design and plan for me, and therefore He destined for me how long I should live. Amen? That I don't live in fear. I walk by faith. Understandably, sometimes people are so afraid. I know of people, friends of mine, who up to this day for the last 18 months have not even left the house because they are crippled by fear. Because it's just wonder, right? If I step out of the house, will this virus come for me right away? But friends, can I say, of course we should all take and undertake the necessary SOPs. Amen? Isn't it? All the SOPs recommend. We should all undertake all the necessary SOPs. All right? We should not be fools, throw away the SOP, just do whatever we like, go wherever we want, okay? No regard whatsoever about things around. No, we should not do that at all. And that's very, very important. So we take the necessary SOPs. But beyond that, what else can we do? But we trust Him. To know this is the God of love who loves me, the Lord. Amen. It is like, for example, in the month of May, one of our church members passed away because of COVID. I was journeying with this couple from day one when they contracted COVID-19. And we've been daily over the phone praying for them. They've been warded in the hospital praying for them. And the moment he contracted, was tested positive, he called me right away. He said, Pastor, I'm absolutely shocked. Absolutely shocked. I've never been cut off all my engagement appointments, basically at home. I don't know what has happened. I said, man, we pray. The wife went for the test. Next day, found positive. Both husband and wife were warded. And we've been praying. I believe many of you likewise journeyed with them in praying for this amazing, wonderful couple in our midst. Wrestle through. He had to be warded in ICU. Battled for so many days in ICU. But tragically, didn't make it. And so when I was told my heart was broken, I went to the hospital to commit the body to the Lord and to pray for the family gathered there. A number of people expressed great concern for me because I wasn't vaccinated at all at that point of time. The pastor said, "You're going to ICU COVID ward." I said, "Friends, I know I appreciate your concern for me. A doctor expressed great concern for me." I said, "I really appreciate it. You know what? Could you please join me to pray? We trust God. But whatever, I will still go. I will still go and trust God for that." Friends, of course, we shouldn't be foolish to just blindly plunge in whatever. But friends, you and I must come to a place of just restlessness and confidence and trust in God, because God has a design and a plan as how long we live. If God wants to protect us, nothing can touch us, isn't it? And it's important, as I say, don't be foolish, blind, just plunge in. But we pray and trust God if there's a responsibility and a call to respond to, to fulfill, okay, your call in life as a pastor. You just have to respond and trust God and believe this God. Amen? And it's very important for so that we walk in faith and not in fear and be gripped in a process and paralyzed like this. I think that's very important. And that's the reminder that psalmist tells us. This God loves us, He cares for us, and it inspires on to press on to fulfill the call of God and do all that He has after undertaking whatever it is. And that's very important for you and I. And that's why, friends, our focus should be on God and not on man. And this is where David shares with us in Psalm 27, verse 4. Let's read together. "One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His holy temple." In other words, friends, the focus should be upon God and trust yourself to God. "Lord, I trust myself to You. I'm in Your good hands. You love me. You've got a design and purpose and length of time I live on earth. I trust You. But Lord, I step out to do whatever that is needful as a call of Yours upon our lives." And that's what it is, friends, you know, for each one of us. So that, friends, you know, it is so important, you know, when we experience this love of God, we walk in freedom, isn't it? Why? Because the Bible tells us perfect love casts out all fears. Apostle John writes to us, when there's a perfect love that resides in our hearts, then we walk trusting Him, this God who is good towards all of us all the time. And that's very important for us. Not only, friends, you know, we are not locked out. We should not be locked in terms of our mindset, in terms of our motivation, but also, friends, you know, thirdly, in terms of our ministry. Right? That we refuse to be locked up whatsoever in terms of ministry. And this is what the psalmist here tells us again, okay? Verses 5 and first 5, verse 6. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disturbed? Put your hope in God, for you had praised Him, my Savior." Put your hope in God. And that's why you and I must communicate to one another. At the end, friends, we communicate hope to one another. Amen? Isn't it? Not fear, not despair, not frustration, not being upset, angry whatsoever. Communicate hope. There's a hope in the future for all of us, so that in our work and ministry, we don't curtail it. We don't cut down. In fact, we should increase it. We should move out even more to fulfill the call of God upon our lives, isn't it? Right? Because sometimes, you know, in our churches, in the midst of this pandemic, we are so scared that we begin to cut down our different ministry. We begin to really, you know, begin to do less and less. Friends, you know, it should be the other way around. We should be doing even more. What is the lesson about this pandemic God is telling us? And the one thing I want to say, right, and I say to the pastors across the country around the world, God is telling us, take the church out. Because you see, as we seek now to begin to open up more and more, we're trying to get as many people in as possible, and we hope everyone will come back. But friends, the lesson from this pandemic is that God allows the church to be shut out. Why? Because ministry is not within the four walls of the church. Ministry is out there in the community. Ministry is out there serving people. Ministry is out there ministering to people. Because there are people out there more fearful than you and I should be as Christians, and all God's people say. Isn't it? Because we're a living God, right, that we can trust in. And you know what, friends? The principle we should live by is that of Apostle Paul writing us to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Amen? Isn't it? Therefore, for me to live, as long as I live, it is all for Christ. But friends, you know, the amazing thing is, if we die, it is gain, greater gain, and perfect gain. So on both counts, Christians win. Amen? Isn't it? And that's what it is. And that's how we should live, in freedom, in peace, in joy, in celebration, and not in fear, okay? Not in trepidation, not in uncertainty, and not being weighed down, friends, by worry, anxiety, and all kinds of things that can cripple us in a process. And that's the reason why, friends, you know, I give thanks to God that in the midst of times like this, we find that you and I must communicate hope, because why? The people of God in the Old Testament, remember Prophet Jeremiah was speaking to the people of God. The people of God who have been exiled away from their own land, from Judah, right, taken to Babylon. And there, without their own land, without their own people, without their own country, all right, in an exile, in that kind of situation, what is the message of Jeremiah to the people of God at that point of time like this? And this is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, very familiar passage of Scripture, okay, where it says to us, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Isn't it? They're in the midst of a totally alien country, all right, rejected, okay, no land, all right, no identity whatsoever. In the midst of that, God says, "I've got great plans and hope and future for you all." And that's how, friends, you and I ought to be living, isn't it? We should communicate hope to one another and to the world outside that is living despair, uncertainty, and fear like this. So I thank God ministries carry on and should carry on all the more so like this. I give thanks to God, for example, our sister Katma, who is actually right here with us, back from Nepal for a break for a while. Okay, we really thank God for her work in ministry, heading up B40, Business for Transformation, in the last 4.5 years. And since she was there, sent from UMC here, okay, what happened? She said, over this 4.5 years, more than 30 businesses have been set up in the process. So what a blessing it has been to so many, many around. Okay, and we thank and rejoice and celebrate, friends, the amazing work that she has done there in Nepal in itself. And so, for example, we will see, and I see, here is Pastor Ram, all right, who is a bivocational pastor who started his business 8 years ago, all right, on one hand, selling automotive spare parts, but also at the same time pastoring a church. Okay, and the following year, what happens is that as a result of B40 connections, some brothers from UMC and other churches came together to help to fund him and to help him to grow his business a bit more. And the business grew and grew, and so that now he was not only able to support his own family, he could support his ministry, and he has planted 7 churches in the process, and today discipling 160 leaders in 120 churches in his network of churches, which we thank God. Here is also, friends, you know, right, our brother John, who started an IT company 5 years ago, and then the pandemic hit, as we all know, last year. He was really have a cash flow problem. Where do we go from here? You want to shut down with 13 staff, all right? And thank God, B40 came in again and said, "No, you shouldn't do that, all right? Can we help you to tide over this period of financial hardship like this?" And they begin a journey with him, appoint advisory board to guide him along. And they found out that John himself had not been taking a salary all this while. The advisory board said, "John, take a salary. You must pay yourself." And that's what he did. You know what? When he received his first paycheck, he gave 100% away to the work of God. Amazing when we think that here's a man who needs some, you know how the family carries on whatsoever. Here a man who needs a little bit, and yet with the money, he gave it all away. And he believes this, if I sow the work of God, it will produce and bear fruit. You know, friends, 1 month later, he got a contract, right, for IT work worth $100,000. And for that, friends, you know, not only he could carry on his 13 workers, he could engage and employ more staff in the midst of a pandemic like this. So today he's got 35 staff. And what happens is that 35 staff, most of them, okay, are breadwinners in the family. And so therefore they end up supporting 35 families in the process. And he himself is involved in helping many young entrepreneurs and youth in 120 churches in his own network again like this. That is also, for example, right, Tanuja. Okay, who started his hair salon, a business 7 years ago, again funded by B40 like this, and offering skills, okay, and job and everything else to Nepalese women. And thank God in the process, okay, she does early morning devotion before they start the business at 10 o'clock, and then in the process, two of the staff come to faith in Christ. Why? Because there's a strong emphasis, not just providing job and training and skill and giving them, hopefully, a livelihood, eventually can move on to start their own salon like this. But friends, you know, wanting to see them be impacted by the gospel. And that's what it is, like this. And in the midst of this pandemic, the business has slowed down, but she re-engineered herself by offering her services to go to homes of ladies, all right, to do their hair and everything else. Thank God for people like this, isn't it? All right, rejoice and celebrate. Finally, one more story, okay, from Nepal. This is our Pastor Koo. He left us 2014 to go back, all right, as pastoring our Nepalese fellowship here, went back to Nepal, feeling his time is over in Malaysia to take care of his growing family like this. Okay, and then early last year, he went back to his home village. It has always been his dream, wanting to start a Christian fellowship, a church in his own village there. He went back, and then a lockdown happened. Good or bad, thank God he stayed back, had no choice but to remain in his own village. And he started outreach. Today, he's got a church of 25 people, all right, most of whom are new converts, and he's helping them to grow in Christ, starting cell groups, reaching out to more and more of his own people in the community like this. You know, Pastor Kuhl, I only discovered 2 days ago, right? Not only he was a butcher, we're working in this village. He was also a gangster. My goodness, you mean we got a gangster amongst our pastors, Pastor Kelvin? God have mercy upon us all. But you know what? The people in the village were absolutely stunned and shocked. Here's a totally changed man who is seeking to do good to our community, bringing help and hope to all of us. Friends, that's a testimony of ministries that must carry on in a greater manner like this. I mentioned earlier on about the food that we serve here. For 3.5 months, we serve free food to people who come out here. All kinds of people who come from all kinds of backgrounds, Malay, Chinese, Indians, all races, including foreigners as well, Bangladeshis, Nepalese, Myanmarese, Filipinos, Indonesians, they come. We serve them all, wherever they are. They can take as many packs as they want. No questions are asked, why do you take so many? Because we all know every single pack goes into hungry stomach. I say, take as many as you need. One Indian man came on his motorbike. He took 6 packs. So I asked him, by the way, how many children do you have? He said, I've got 5. All right? Then I said, why do you take 6? What about your wife? Yeah. I said, take one more. He was so grateful. I said, unless you sacrifice your love for your wife so much, you give the pack to your wife and you go without food. But you know what happens? These are the kind of people who come that we can serve, minister, and some of these from many churches around, friends, can I say, that has also been affected in that process. What a joy, what a privilege. Ministry must carry on. We must upscale our ministry to impact and touch the community of Jesus Christ. And that's very important. So much so that you know what happens? These people who come, many of these Chinese-speaking people, they ask me, Moksi, Pastor, when is your church opening? When is your church opening? We like to come because they're so impacted and touched. And most of these are non-Christians, right? In fact, 95% are not Christians. They're so impacted and touched. Why is it a church like this keep on serving us with no strings attached? And we can take as many packs as we want. For example, a Malay lady came, right, in her four-wheel drive. Every day she comes, she takes 70 packs. Give it all to her. Right? And she says, I take it to my low-cost housing in Lembah Pantai, in KL, to share with other Malay families. Friends, you know, this is what church is all about. Amen. The church exists for the community. The church seeks to serve the community. The church seeks to bless the community with no strings attached. So that our ministries, friends, you know what, must double, must increase even more rather than cutting down, rather than trying to conserve, rather than trying to have self-preservation, that kind of thing. And that's the reason sometimes I feel so sad. You know what I mean? That in these days and times, as people talk about end times, end times, end times, and how we can exist, how we can live, how can we self-preserve during this end time? Well, some people say, and some preachers say, let's buy a big piece of land. Let's cultivate vegetables, okay, and grow our own organic food and everything. And let's come and live together, okay? The rest of the world can sink and go wherever else. Doesn't matter. Well, at least we'll survive. My goodness, I was so upset when I hear teachings like this. You know, we only think about ourselves and our own survival. Friends, you know, you and I have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You and I should be offering hope to the world. Why are we only concerned about ourselves? If we die, it is gain. If we live for Christ. Amen. Isn't it? So it does not matter if we live or die, but go all out to bless people, serve people, and extend God's kingdom in a powerful manner. Isn't it? And that's what you and I must do, friends. Finally, we are never locked down, friends, you know, in our mission. Okay, and so verse 11, which is a repetition of verse 5 and the first part of verse 6. In fact, you read on the Psalm 43. It ends up with the same as well. And the same refrain comes out like this, okay? Let's read together one final time. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and God. You see, friends, the word I want to emphasize is this. Put your hope, okay? Put your hope in God, for yet I will praise Him, my Savior and my God. He is our Savior. He is our Deliverer. He's the one who offers all of our hope and the future, isn't it? That's what we should emphasize, friends. Go all out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our ultimate mission you and I must be involved with, because if we're not involved in preaching the gospel, what are we here for? We miss the point altogether. And what a tragedy is it? Sometimes we end up fighting one another, forgetting our greater mission and a fuller mission outside. Is it? Good news of Jesus Christ must go all out as much as possible. So they pray God's grace. People are touched, impacted, changed, and transformed. Why? Because anything C.S. Lewis tells us this, okay? And he says, all that is not eternal is eternally useless. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Everything is eternally useless. So if we don't preach the gospel, get people in the kingdom, we miss it altogether, friends, whatever we do. I tell business leaders I mentor, I journey with. Some of them build fancy, huge businesses. And you know, I tell them, my friends, oh, your huge, massive, wonderful business, highly appreciated in this country, admired in this country. It will all be over one day. It will all be over one day. You know that? Spend time. Not that you should not build a business, that you should carry on, but make sure you have the right balance. The greatest you and I should be building is the kingdom of God, because it is that which will outlast anything and everything, and all that is not eternal is eternally useless. And only the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ is eternal, friends, because one day all the kingdoms of the world will become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, friends, there must be a great urgency, all the more so. Just pray that God will open doors to share the good news. Drop you in the kingdom, because why? Then you set them on the track. They and us will live forever and ever. What a joy, what a blessing. Is it? Even our own family members, if they don't come to know Jesus Christ, when they die, it's all over. That's the end of it. But if someone comes to faith in Christ, right, when he or she dies, we'll still be a family forever and ever. And all God's people say, isn't it? That's why we must double have a greater urgency than share goodness of Jesus. That's what you and I can do. So that nobody, friends, you know what, gets locked up in the process. Not even a child gets locked up in the process. And it's so important for all of us. Let me close with this. Just the other day, someone from GMC texted me and said, Pastor, would you be willing to pray for this person? I said, of course, you have to pray for anybody, right? Including actually Malays as well, which I prayed for just recently, okay? And I was deeply impacted and touched because I said to him, you know, I want to pray for you. Pray for you now. Ah, you mean now? Yeah, now, sekarang, right away. Because he knows. We've been praying. I've been praying for him every day for his sickness and illness. Well known in this country. Highly respected in this country. And he knows God has touched him. To amazing healing took place. And so with this guy, a brother in GMC texted me, a cell leader texted me, is Pastor going to pray for him? Actually, we prayed for him before. Years ago, he came here, all right, having this struggle with some health issues. You pray for him, and he felt better after that. Pastor has come out again. Can you pray? But of course. So I prayed for him. But after that, I told him, maybe before I pray for you, you should commit your life all over again to Christ. It is no accident that you're here, that I'm here to pray for you. And my usual tagline, out of 7.5 billion people, I'm still alive to connect with you, talk to you. It's about time. God is knocking at your door. Don't lock him up again. This is the time. Can I pray with you right now to renew, turn your life all over to Christ? And I'm going to believe God will touch you. Happily join me to do that. And what a joy it is when I texted the cell leader to say that he joined me to pray a prayer, trusting in Christ all over again. Follow me up. Make sure he gets your cell group. And make sure he comes to UMC. So that together, friends, you and I can be involved in building the kingdom of God that is everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to just extend this invitation to any one of us here in this auditorium, or you're listening online. You have not taken the step of faith to trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now is the time. Today's the day, as the Bible says. Never tomorrow, day after. God has spoken to you, my friend. This is the time to respond. And so if you like to, my friend, just four simple steps. Acknowledge you're a sinner. believe in Christ on the cross for your sins. Thirdly, ask and forgive your sins. Fourthly, invite Christ in life as Lord and Savior. In a simple step of faith, when you trust in Christ, you become a child of God. And you're in, my friend, for this everlasting journey with Jesus Christ, so that one day when He comes, you'll be there with Him forever, together with all of us who are trusted in Christ. So if you'd like to, my friend, both in this auditorium or watching online, would you follow after me in your heart this prayer as I lead you along? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank and I praise You for Your love for me. I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. Please forgive all my sins and come into my life, Lord Jesus Christ. Be my Lord and my Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit and Your power, and give me Your love, Your peace, and Your joy. And enable me from today onwards to live for You, honor and glorify Your name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father, for those who pray this prayer, Holy Spirit, I ask You to seal it deep in every heart, every life, both in this auditorium or wherever these people are, oh God, online, in Malaysia, around the world. Bring this new birth and new life to pass, Father, I pray, and enable these, oh God, to be filled up in the life of the church, even in DMC, Father, I pray, oh God. And now, Father, I pray for every one of us, Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't we stand? Let me close in prayer for all of us. And at the end of the prayer, those who have needs who like to be prayed for, I believe we could do this, although we still exercise social distancing, or I prefer call physical distancing. All right, we can pray, okay, all right, from a short distance. I believe God would just do something wonderful. So can I pray for all of us? Our Father, we want to thank and praise You, Lord Jesus Christ, for Your love, grace, mercy, His goodness towards us. We may be locked down, as it were, but we are never locked out. Lord God, release us, Father, I pray, if there's any lockup in our mindset, in our motivation, in our ministry, and in our mission. Release and set us all free, Father, I pray. And give us a new mindset to think after Your thoughts and Your ways, oh God, so that we will release, Father, I pray, in a greater manner, walk in freedom, in peace, in joy, in celebration, oh God, I pray. That we are motivated because of the love of Yours, inspired to go all out, Father, to make it count, make a difference, oh God, I pray, Father. To know that You have a wonderful design, destiny, oh God, for each one of us, and plan for our life, for now and for the future, Father, I pray. And help us to double in our ministry, in our mission, oh God, I pray, Father, to reach out to serve people, to make it count, make a difference, oh God, to serve the community, Father, that's what You have put us for. But most important of all, to share the good news of Jesus Christ, Your eternal gospel that will make an everlasting difference to the lives of people. Bless us all, Father, I pray, oh God, and release Your grace upon our lives, so that from today onwards, Father, I pray, we will no longer be locked up whatsoever, but always, Father, oh God, be free to be what You designed us to be, Father, I pray. Glorify Your name, Father, I ask, oh God. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may His face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His perfect peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, those who need prayer can come forward, because I believe leaders here will pray for you. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a great, okay, rest of the Saturday evening. And, okay, see you next weekend. God bless you all richly.